Last Tuesday, ang UAE po ay humarap sa isang unprecedented extreme weather. And most of us were terrified by such an experience. Perhaps ang iba po sa atin ay inumaga na po sa labas, looking for a place or shelter na ating masisilungan. Or some of us somehow walked in the middle of the storm, hoping and praying na makauwi po tayo sa ating mga pamilya at makarating sa bahay na safe. Or perhaps, if you're like me, in my situation, you are anxiously waiting and praying for our loved one to reach home safely. Yung passage po natin sa umagang ito has the same feeling and question that in the middle of such extreme circumstances brought by the unpredicted behavior of a lonely, impulsive, self-centered king, yung katanungan po ng mga anak ng Diyos sa panahon ito, how should God's people live in response sa ganitong klaseng mga sirkumstansya? How should God's people become passive sa mga sitwasyon na ito? Should we compromise? Or, bilang mga anak ng Diyos, should we live an obedient, pleasing life for the glory of God? Ang main point po natin sa umagang ito is this. God remembers and gives grace to His people to live a pleasing, obedient life for His glory. God remembers and gives grace to His people to live a pleasing, obedient life for His glory. I have divided this into three parts. Una po, a pleasing proposal, which covers yung verses 1 to 4, an abiding favor, and a pleasing servant. So let's start and jump in sa ating first point, a pleasing proposal. Sabi po sa verse 1, after these things. Now, huminto po muna tayo dito. After all these things, or after these things. Ang linya po na ito na sinabi ng author, he picked up yung kung saan niya iniwan yung ating pag-aaral, in yung talking about sa nangyari doon sa chapter 1. After all these things refers to the event occurred sa chapter 1. That is, 3 to 4 years ago, when the king deposed Vashti sa kanyang royal position. Yes, 3 or 4 years ago po nangyari ito, kasi mababasa po natin iyan in verse 16 of chapter 2, hindi po ba? That tells us that when Esther turned na humarap sa hari, mababasa po natin doon, sa passage natin, that it was the 7th year of King Xerxes sa throne. Now, ang passage po natin ay hindi binanggit o hindi nagbigay ng impormasyon kung ano ang mga nangyari sa loob ng 3 o 4 na taon. Ngunit, ang historia na si Herodotus suggests that between those years, si Xerxes na po led one of the most famous military expedition in the world history with 180,000 men, which is, yan na po yung pinakamalaki during their time, largest accumulated soldiers, march in an attempt to invade Greece. But after his unsuccessful military expedition, which resulted sa kanyang great defeat, he is now back sa kanyang kingdom and has to face the unwanted consequences that he left 3 to 4 years ago. Ano po yun? Nawala na siyang reyna. Kaya ito po yung sinabi dito ng author po na, after these things. At nagresulta po ito sa pag-subside ng kanyang galit. Yun po yung, kung babasahin po natin continually yung verse 1, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had abated. Yung salitang abated po dito ay the same language na ginamit na kumalala po natin yung sa may Genesis, yung patungkol sa may flood, yung Genesis 8:3, which refers to the flood that once covered the whole earth has been receded or nagsubside. Nangahulugan po ito na while the king is away, he is busy with his military expedition dun sa may Greece, what left or what covers the whole kingdom, what resounded to the whole kingdom in the very hearts and minds of the people, most especially sa mga kababaihan, is yung galit niya manifested sa kanyang law na ginawa. That is 3 to 4 years ago. At marahil po maiisip po natin na ingat ang mga kababaihan sa panahon na ito na magkamali. At kung hindi, yung mangyayari po sa kanila ay katulad din po sa kanilang former queen na si Vashti. Friends, we are talking about 4 years here. Just a side application na po, ano? Meron ba tayong galit na kinikimkim sa mga puso natin laban sa isang tao? Could it be you've been holding that for months, for years, or for decade now? Hindi kaya mga kapatid, this is the right time for us. God is calling us to extend grace, to extend forgiveness sa mga taong nagkasala sa atin. At tingnan po natin kung paano ito hinarap ni Xerxes. Kung patuloy po natin babasahin yung verse 1, it tells us that he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. He remembered Vashti. But that is a good start, di po ba? But let us try to zoom in sa progression na nararamdaman ng hari na ito. Ang salitang remembered po dito, again, in Hebrew, which means Zakar. Katulad po ito ng pagkakagamit in Genesis 8:1, that says, when God remembered Noah and all the beast and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. Now, this one suggests that when God remembered Noah, when God remembered Noah, he remembered his covenant promise sa kay Noah. And what precedes is an action in light sa kanyang covenant promise sa mamang ito. Meaning that God will act in good for the welfare ni Noah. So the same language na ginamit po dito sa passage natin. But here, yung sinabi ng author, when Xerxes remembered Vashti, it exposed his sinful, unwilling nature to act on behalf of his wife, for her good and for the good of all the women in his kingdom. Brother, makikita po natin dito na mas inisip ng hari ang kanyang sarili. Yes, he might have felt remorse, felt guilty sa kanyang ginawa sa kanyang asawa. He might remembered yung fun times, happy times with her, at namimiss niya ito. But failing to act and acknowledge his sin and repent it to God is just a shallow feeling. Mga kaibigan, true repentance is more than a feeling of guilt and a feeling of remorse. It is an acknowledgement that we have sinned against a holy God and His people. True repentance means that we are ready to confess our sins and own the responsibility and consequences bought by it. Ngunit, yung makikita po natin dito that Xerxes showed a shallow feeling of guilt, perhaps dahil sa kakahihiyan. O marahil sa kalungkutan because of the void left by Vashti. O notice po yung progression ng action ni Xerxes dito. Sabi ng author that he remembered Vashti. But the author quickly moved sa kasunod ng sinabi niya dito, that what she had done. Perhaps naiisip dito ni Xerxes that Vashti defied his command. She did not listen to me. She put me into shame. She and what she had done. And he ends up by saying, and what had been decreed against her. Yung salita po dito na passive verb, what had been decreed, suggest po yung idea na yung decision na ginawa ng hari na to is not dependent or fully dependent sa kanyang personal na decision. But influenced by sa kanyang mga advisors, kumalala po natin doon sa may chapter 1. And therefore, it has a tendency na yung hari na ito would put the blame sa mga wise men na nagbigay sa kanya ng counsel. Friends, Xerxes is unwilling to own his mistakes, to own his sins. Rather, blame others for his sin. Dahil kasi sa inyo ito. Friends, does it remind us sa nangyari doon sa Genesis? Or does it remind us as well ng ating selfish nature? Mga kaibigan, how many times did we refuse to admit our own sins? How many times did we conceal, defy, blame others ang kasalanan na tayo naman po yung gumawa? Or perhaps blame God for the consequences ng mga kasalanan ng ating ginawa, yet refuse to repent and ask forgiveness sa Kanya, sa Kanyang mga tao. Mga kaibigan, 4 years is a long time na ginamit providentially na Panginoon in giving Xerxes a chance to repent. His defeat could be a way that God used to bring him into that exact situation for him to realize na nagkasala siya laban sa banal na Diyos. At marahil ganun din po sa sitwasyon natin. God providentially brought us in the exact situation where we are right now for us to realize and to see that we need to repent to our holy God. So baka tulad din po tayo ni Xerxes, that while contemplating in our current situation, I once again, we have easily persuaded by the pleasing proposal ng kanyang mga batang servants. Mababasa po natin ito in verses 2 to 4. Let us read verses 2 to 4. Sabi po dito, "Then the king's young men who attended him said, 'Let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Susa, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the woman. Let their cosmetics be given to them, and let the young woman who pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti.' This pleased the king, and he did so." Oh, medyo awkward po yung pagkapasok ng mga batang servants dito po, ano. Eh baka in the middle of the king's contemplation, siguro umiiyak pa ito, biglang pumasok po yung kanyang personal and trusted servants. At iminungkahi sa kanya ang kanilang plano in hopes to alleviate yung king, yung misery ng king. Hindi po natin tiyak kung ang mga young men ba na ito ay mga wise men that has been mentioned in chapter 1, or probably they are the king's personal and trusted servants, since providentially makikita po natin dito na nakikinig siya and valued yung kanilang mga advices. Just a short application na mga kapatid. Mga kaibigan, kaninong payo po ba tayo na ikinig? Ang mga payo po ba na natatanggap natin ay galing po sa mga men and women who faithfully read and valued yung scripture? Who fear God? Friends, kung titingnan po natin, we have the church family. And pwede po tayo makatanggap ng mga payo na ito. Godly men and women of the scripture. If you are new sa congregation na ito, you are just attending, friends, you have this family that God has providentially gave you. Now, tingnan po natin kung ano yung minungkahi dito ng mga batang servants. Ano yung pre-propose nila? A nationwide or kingdom-wide beauty pageant. A nationwide and kingdom-wide beauty pageant. But, yung term na ginamit dito falls short in its true intent. Yung suggestion po dito ng king servant is not a happy, exciting hunt for Miss Persia. But these are young women who have dreams and plans sa buhay nila and now will be forced, according to the law, to be taken away from sa kanilang family at para ilagay sa king's harem. So kung iintindihin po natin yung salitang harem, means house of woman, or if you become a member of a harem, it simply means that you will be a property of the king for the king's pleasure. It's either naasawa ka man or concubine ka man ng hari. And sabi ng mga young servants dito, unable to do this, they suggest na kailangan maglagay ng mga officers in 127 provinces para i-gather po yung mga virgins na to o yung mga babae na nasa tamang edad na para ikasal and put under the custody of Hegai and will undergo sa extreme na beautification. Not only Hegai touches their skin. And sabi nga nila, a one who would please the king, whose physical and outward appearance stands out, would be the next queen. And this, the author gave emphasis sa nararamdaman ng hari dito. This pleased the king. Now, normal the procedure po kung maimili ang isang hari during their time, ay dapat po sana na manggaling ito sa pitong noble family ng Persia. But since the servants knew the king's strong sensual appetite for lust, they come up into this idea. Kung ating pong titingnan, na kapatid, this is a good reminder for us that even in these first four verses of chapter 2, pinapakita po sa atin na hindi si Xerxes ang siyang may control na mga nangyayari sa buhay niya o sa mga mangyayari sa kanyang kaharian. But we can see God's hand at work here in using the consequences of human action, even the unlikely and unpleasant circumstances, sa pag-achieve ng kanyang goal. Mga kaibigan, try to look back on the bad experiences that we had. Ang Diyos po natin ay kayang gamitin kahit ang pinakamapait na experiences natin, ang mga injustices caused to us or by us, to accomplish ang kanyang plano. Ngunit hindi po ito nangangahulugan na siya po yung nag-udyok sa atin na magkasala. Ngunit kaya po niyang gamitin even the evil things of this world to accomplish His work for His own glory. For He's the one who controls all things. Napag-aralan po natin yan kanina during our class. Na-discuss kanina ni Pastor Javon. Tulad din po sa sinabi yan ni James in chapter 1 verse 13. Sabi po doon that let no one say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And He Himself tempts no one. God is not the author nor the source of evil works or evil things. But God can sovereignly use the king's servant to ensure Esther's passage to the throne. This may look unpleasant, but if we look back to the threads of God's work, we see how He graciously works all things for the good of His children, for our own good. This is a good reminder din po sa atin, mga kapatid, that at times, when we find ourselves to be at the mercy of the unpredictable will of others, we are in fact in God's hand, who controls all things. Tingnan po natin yung second point po natin, an abiding favor. Now, while all of those things, yung mga pagpaplano po nangyayari in the Persian palace, yung author po natin introduced to us sa dalawang bagong characters. Nakikita po natin ito in verses 5 and 6. O bakit po kaya importante ito, hindi bakit po kaya naglaan ng oras na ilatag ng author yung mga small or detailed information about kay Mordecai tsaka kay Esther. Pwede naman na sabihin niya, now there is Mordecai and Esther. This is important dahil pinapaalalahanan po tayo ng ethnicity or affiliation ni Mordecai and later on sa kay Esther din. These are important dahil it will remind us the reason why they were there in Persia and the nature of God's relationship sa kanila. And in response, bilang mga anak niya, paano ngayon sila mag-respond in their current situation that they are in or they are about to face? Una po, makikita po natin in verse 5 yung exilic experience ng mga ninuno ni Mordecai. Kung atin pong babalikan in 2 Kings 24, 10-16, it gives us yung background o yung story ng pagkabagsak ng Jerusalem in 586 BC. Makikita din po natin na pag nung bumagsak yung Jerusalem, along with it, yung king na nag-rule doon o nag-submit sa Babylon is si King Jeconiah, or also known as Jehoiachin or Coniah. And isa po sa mga style ng mga Babylonian kung magka-capture sila ng isang nation is that they will get all the nobles, yung lahat ng mga talintado at matatalino na mga tao, at isasama nila yan doon sa may Babylon. And for them to integrate them sa kanilang culture, part of it is binibigyan po nila ng bagong mga pangalan, which is maalala po natin si Daniel at kanyang mga kaibigan, hindi po ba? And that's the very reason, marahil, he's a second generation or third generation si Mordecai at si Esther have a Mesopotamian name. Now, ano po yung rason kung bakit naandoon sila? Dahil po ba na malakas yung Babylon during that time? Well, the answer po is hindi. God used the Babylonians as His servant to discipline yung mga Jew na ito because they rebelled against God. They have broke covenant with God. And makikita po natin, nabanggit natin noong nakaraan that in the book of Daniel, makikita din po natin that God handed yung Babylon sa may Persia. This is why Mordecai and other Jew nandoon makikita natin sa may Persia. Now, isa din mapapansin po natin dito is yung pagbanggit, specific affiliation or yung ethnicity ni Mordecai as a Benjamite. That help us track and understand yung tension na mangyayari sa chapter 3 between kay Mordecai tsaka kay Haman. So if you have time, you can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 15 to understand in advance yung mangyayari in chapter 3. Now perhaps if you are a Jew reading this portion ng historical narrative ni Esther, you would simply say that there is no hope. Baka nga na pinabayaan na tayo ng Diyos at gawin na lang natin ng yung makakaya natin to find favor sa hari at sa mga tao dito sa Persia. And the fact po na hindi sila umuwi kasama ng ibang mga Hudyo during the time ni Cyrus ay nagpapakita po ito ng pagsuway at walang at hindi pagtitiwala sa pangako ni Yahweh. Ngunit ito ba ay nangangahulugan na kinalimutan na sila ng Diyos? And therefore choose to compromise. Friends, perhaps ganito din po ang mga naiisip natin dahil po sa dami at sa mga matitinding kasalanan na meron po tayo. When we think that we do not have hope, na pinabayaan na tayo ng Diyos, and we just simply rely sa mga mabuting gawa natin and live a life that is pleasing to the sight of others in hopes that we will want or we will win their favor and yung favor ng Diyos. Ngunit hindi po ito yung sinasabi ng Biblia. When the Bible speaks of God's grace or favor, it speaks of the unmerited favor of God to man. Meaning, hindi po nakabase sa ating gawa o mga mabubuting gawa ang pagbibigay ng Diyos ng grasya niya sa atin. But He freely gave this to us. That is why salvation or receiving God's favor is by faith alone in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ito po mismo yung sinasabi ng Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. Therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of good works, so that no one may boast. Marahil, ito po yung naiisip ng mga Hudyo, perhaps sa atin din, while reading this very section ng passage po natin. But along with those tragic, exilic experience nila, attached to the background sa kay Mordecai, the author introduced to us to his cousin, na si Esther, or Hadassah. You can read that in verse 7. We can see from our passage that Esther is described as an orphan girl, but a beautiful and physically attractive woman. At si Mordecai po yung tumayo bilang foster father niya. But what stood most from this beautiful young woman was not her physical beauty, but her Savior. In what way and how? O titingnan po natin yung intentional inclusion ng Hebrew name na Hadassah. It reminds the Hebrew readers, including us na nag-aaral po nito, that God remembers His promise to her and sa kanyang mga tao. Hadassah or Hadass in Hebrew means myrtle, or a star-shaped na bulaklak. Symbolically, in a prophetic use of this, it refers to God's peace or yung blessing sa kanila ng Panginoon. Or it depicts God's forgiveness and acceptance of His people. May kita po natin ito in Isaiah 55 verse 13. Yung sabi po doon, instead of thorns shall come up to the cypress, instead of the brief briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make name for the Lord an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Yung pagkagamit po dito ni Isaiah 55, yung thorns and briar represents wretchedness at yung kasalanan ng tao. While cypress and myrtle naman represents a happy condition of a man because of the forgiveness received niya sa kanyang Diyos. Now, this could be a happy reminder para sa mga Hudyo na ito. And this should give us hope as well bilang isang iglesia while reading this passage. Well, this gives us assurance and comfort that as a church, while waiting, though we suffer and groan due to different reasons, friends, hindi po tayo nakakalimutan ng Diyos. God, remember yung kanyang covenant promise sa atin that He will act and He will remember us. For those who are not yet in Christ, friends, receive Christ and receive a happiness that is based on the shallow things and beauty of this world. But true happiness is to receive forgiveness from a holy, righteous, and sovereign God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yung glory po, yung happiness brought by physical beauty and strength, yung glory po ng riches and fame will pass. But what will last in this life and in eternity is a life that is set free from the burden of sin and guilt dahil po sa ginawa ni Kristo. Now, having this in mind, the fact that we have received forgiveness and peace with God, how should we face and stand amid unpleasant situation or in the unpredicted will of others? Makikita po natin ito in verse 8. Tingnan po natin how Esther and Mordecai respond in such situation. In verse 8 po, we can observe that the proposal made by the king's servant ay isinabatas na. And many young women, including Esther, are taken to the harem under the supervision of Haggai. Through the law enforced by the king, this means the inescapable nature ng compliance sa mga kababaihan sa panahong iyon at ni Esther. Marahil naiisip po natin na yung mga panahon na ito, yung takot sa kay Mordecai at kay Esther, na habang kinukuha po yung mga babae na ito, mga kababaihan na ito, porsahan sa kanilang mga pamilya. In verse 9, makikita po natin that it tells us that Esther pleased Haggai and won his favor. Yung pagkakasabi po dito, and the young woman, that is Esther, pleased him and won his favor. In other translation, it means gained his kindness. Now in Hebrew idiom, yung salita po na won his favor may suggest na si Esther po won the favor of Haggai dahil po sa kanyang social skills. Marahil nang kinukuha po itong babae na ito, in the middle of a distressing situation, Haggai observed sa kay Esther yung kanyang empathy, yung cooperation niya. Marahil iniisip niya, hindi lang sarili niya, but of course, that kasama doon yung mga babaeng kasama niya papunta sa may harem. Marahil nakita nila sa babaeng ito that she possesses more than beauty, but a pleasing personality. Kung malala po natin, the author did not intentionally mention God sa aklat na ito. We can say na yung favor na natanggap ni Esther dito is the same favor that God bestowed to Joseph in Genesis 39 verse 21. That while he was in prison, ang Diyos po ay inalala siya at nagbigay ng kindness sa kanya by granting yung favor sa kay Joseph in the eyes or in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Titingnan po natin mga kapatid, tunay nga po that in the middle of a hostile and fearful situation, our fallen tendency is to retaliate and to look for our own strength for survival. But this is a good reminder for us din po that in such situation, we can rely on God and ask Him for wisdom on how should we respond and act in such a way that would glorify Him. Hindi ko po sinasabi that we'll become passive, but we should act in such a way that relying and asking God's wisdom so that we can act in a glorifying way sa ating Savior. It's a good reminder sa atin na mga Kristiyano that our main priority in such situation is to seek God's favor and His glory, rather than seeking right away man's favor, for often, nag-lead po sa atin ito sa pag-compromise. Mga kaibigan, ano ba yung mga bagay na ikinompromise po natin dahil sa kagustuhan natin kunin ang pabor ng ibang tao? Ano yung mga bagay na ginawa po natin na nagkasala tayo dahil sa kagustuhan nating kunin yung pabor ng ibang tao? A good reminder for us po is yung sabi sa Proverbs 31 verse 30. Sabi po doon, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman or a person who fears the Lord is to be praised. Our main priority in this life is to glorify God. So moving in verse 10, medyo tricky po yung situation ni Mordecai at Esther dito. We might ask, okay lang ba not to made known our identity or relationship with Christ bilang mga anak niya? May kita po natin dyan in verse 10 that Mordecai commanded si Esther not to make known his kindred. And in response, Esther obeyed. Well, the quick answer po sa tanong na sinabi ko is no. Remember po na bilang mga Kristiyano, we are called as an ambassador of Christ, making our light shine before men for the very purpose to make God visible to the watching world. Marahil po for Mordecai, his concern is for Esther's safety. Dahil sa kung malaman ito ng ibang tao, marahil na makakaranas po ito ng unfair treatment. Perhaps he is just acting or applying yung wisdom dito. But on the other hand, hindi po kaya na nagpapakita po ito, again, nang hindi niya pagtitiwala sa Diyos na may control ng lahat. Which, in effect, makikita po natin in chapter 4 verses 12-15 yung effect po nito sa buhay nila. Nahirapan si Mordecai to convince Esther to stand for the Jew, nung queen na siya. That is the consequence ng kasalanan niya dito. But here's a comforting truth na makikita natin dito mga kapatid, na kaya ng Diyos gamitin kahit itong matatakotin na si Mordecai at itong si compromising na Esther to reverse the effect of the king's command or yung work ng evil po dito. Yes, Esther exemplify obedience sa kay Mordecai, but this is not a license for us to live a double standard life. But instead, bilang mga anak po niya, let us heed the warning of Jesus in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Yung sabi po niya doon, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But, here's the warning, whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Marahil po ba na yung mga pagkakataon that we live a life na parang hindi po tayo Christian or we do not identify ourselves with Christ ay nagpapakita po na hindi po talaga tayo Christian. Hindi po kaya ganun ang ibig sabihin nun? But despite of great fear, makikita po natin in verse 11 how Mordecai showed his fatherly love and concern to Esther. Makikita po natin dito that every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. Mga kaibigan, in the face of difficult situation, as God's people, this is a good opportunity po sa atin to express and display our godly love and concern with each other. And practically, nakita po natin ito ng mga nakaraang araw na tumama yung matinding bagyo dito sa UAE. Pinakita po ninyo ito by practically opening your houses for brothers and sisters who were affected by flood. We do not have electricity or yung tubig available sa kanilang mga bahay. You have exercised this by honestly asking help sa mga kapatiran. We have experienced this providentially from non-Christians who extended their helping hands towards atin. Friends, those may look ordinary, but it was the hand of God working tangibly sa mga panahon na iyon. And as a church, we have exercised this through praying, by giving our benevolence offering, enabling for us to provide financial help and spiritual care for others, for going out for discipleship, for trading our me time for we time as a church. Ito po yung mga practical way na pinakita po natin or exercise yung love and concern po natin sa isa't isa. Na makikita po natin dito that Mordecai continually express his love or fatherly love and concern sa kay Esther. In verses 12 to 14, makikita po natin yung rigid procedure ng beautification stage po ng mga young women dito. Yung procedure lasted for a year based sa law na yun na iminungkahi. This is to ensure that the woman were in their best form at sa kanilang best appearance bago po sila umarap sa hari. And this fulfills then sa nais ng mga wise men na ibinukahin nila doon sa chapter 1 verse 19 na yung papalit sa kay Vashti is better than her. Better, which refers to physical beauty. Kaya po ganito ka-rigid yung procedure na ginawa po nila. Yung prescribed preparation involves yung 6 months with oil and myrrh para palambutin at pakinisin ang kanilang mga balat at 6 na buwan naman with spices or perfumes and oils or cosmetics para tabunan o pabanguhin yung katawan, yung mga babae na ito. With this prescribed preparation, may kita po natin na yung katumbas lamang po nito ay isang gabi with the king. Marahil po puspusan yung paghahanda at pagpapabango ng mga babaeng ito. And because of the nature ng horse na meron sila, isa sa mga privilege na binigay sa kanila ay pwede nilang dalhin ang mga nais nila sa oras na harap sila sa hari. Marahil ito yung mga cosmetics, yung mga perfumes na meron sila, o mga bagay na pwede nilang gamitin to impress Xerxes. Dahil pagkatapos po nito, the truth, after nung isang gabi na makasama nila yung hari, is they will be transferred under the custody of Shashkas. Yung eunuch po is considered a safe guardian sa mga royal property. Which means na yung mga babae na ito is simply considered as property of the king. They are not considered as human, but they are tool for the king's pleasure. Ngunit makikita po natin dito that when Esther's turn comes, the author mentioned again yung kanyang affiliation sa kay Abihail sa kay Mordecai. This is an indication that the action that will precede or follow is influenced by these two men habang lumalaki si Esther. At ano ito? Nung binigyan sila ng privilege to ask and to have everything o yung mga desire nila bago sila humarap sa hari, she did not exercise that opportunity. Perhaps yung mga naiisip ng mga tao at mga kababaihan na kasama niya, ito na yung pagkakataon sana na pwede niyang gamitin to win the king's favor. At pinalampas niya. But instead, makikita natin dito what she asked for is the advice of Hegai. Makikita po natin yung great difference between Esther and Vashti in this specific situation. Kung maalala po natin in chapter 1, Vashti acted in defiance and did not care to ask the advice of the king's eunuch or servants. But here, Esther valued good advice. She wins the favor of everyone na nakita sa kanya the way she submit and comply by listening and valuing the advice sa mga taong pinagkaloob sa kanya ng Diyos. The question for us, for those who are working as an employee, do we display the same compliance or obedience sa mga amo natin? Do we, sa mga youth po natin, do we value yung pakikinig sa ating mga magulang? Sa result po makikita natin, and when she was taken to the king, notice yung language na ginamit dito in verse 17. The king loved her. So this is not an erotic kind of love, but it means that Xerxes dearly loved or loved at first sight sa kay Esther. Not only among the virgins, yung pagkakasabi dyan, but more than all the women. An encompassing, comprehensive kind of love ng hari para sa babaeng ito. The king adorned and showed kindness sa kay Esther. That leads the king's action in setting the crown sa kay Esther and making her queen of the Persia. And not only that, we can notice then yung influence ni Esther's king. We can see that in a previous feast, it is done in the manner of a prideful display or opulent display of a king's wealth and power. And yung focus po noon is yung kanyang sarili. But here, this is to celebrate Esther, barayl, it refers to sa kanilang kasalan. But not only that, makikita din po natin yung action ng king dito that he also grant remission and gives gifts with royal generosity. O marahil, magtatanong po tayo, how all of this are possible? Is this solely because of Esther's beauty? Or because of her social skills and obedience na pinakita dito? Or, this is because of the divine sovereign will of God that set her to the throne? Well, obviously, we have observed that repeatedly the author mentions that Esther receives favor or grace in the sight of all the people who saw her. What people, what Xerxes, the eunuchs, the other woman na nakakasama niya, failed to observe, or what they observed from her and beholden is just her physical and social beauty. But what they have failed to see is the beauty of Esther's Savior, of her God, who sovereignly works and controls and dispenses grace para sa kanya at para sa atin ng mga anak niya, for us to receive forgiveness, enable for us to live a beautiful life in the sight of a wrathful but loving God who hates sin. Xerxes failed to see God's abiding presence, his abiding favor, and his covenantal love for Esther. Friends, it is not Esther, but because of Esther's God, kung bakit nandun siya sa trono. As Christians, this is a good reminder for us not to get tired of beholding the beauty of Christ and the benefits of grace that we have received from Him, in hopes that by acting in obedience, faithfully sa kanyang salita, we would win others sa kay Kristo. Now, how are we displaying God's beauty sa buhay natin? Sa ating mga actions, in our obedience. In verses 19 to 23, which is yung last point po natin dito, makikita natin na hindi lamang si Esther ang may magandang naidulot sa hari, kundi pati si Mordecai, who persisted in obedience and loyalty to the king despite the fact that Esther was taken from him, the pleasing servant. Now in verse 19, hindi po natin alam specifically ang dahilan ng muling pagtitipon ng mga virgins dito. But we can simply assume that this has something to do with Esther's coronation. But while those things are happening, the author draws our attention to the new role of Mordecai. He is now sitting at the king's gate. Hindi po siya tambay doon. But it implies that he gained position or role sa karian ni Xerxes. Di po natin alam kung paano, o baka dahil sa naging reyna si Esther at naibigyan ito ng role o pagkakataon na magkaroon ng mataas na katungkulan sa Persian Kingdom. And bilang isang official sa Persian Kingdom, they are required to stay at the gate of the royal palace. Tulad po ito sa napag-aralan natin in Genesis. Makikita po natin yan in the life of Lot, hindi po ba? When he gained position sa Sodom, he was at the gate. Even in the story of Boaz and Esther, when they settle and Boaz trying to redeem si Esther, they've settled it sa gate. Now in verse 20, the author again mentioned yung obedience ni Esther sa kay Mordecai. This shows that though she is now independent and not under sa care ni Mordecai sa mga panahon nito because she is now the queen, yet pinapakita po dito that she still values and care yung relationship niya sa kanyang foster father na si Mordecai. Kung saan, in effect, makikita din po natin ito in chapter 4 sa ipipreach naman ni Pastor Eric. So, while sitting at the gate in verse 21 to 23, dumating sa kalaman ni Mordecai na may dalawang eunuch na yung plano na dalawang eunuch ng hari na si Bigthan at saka si Teresh. They conspire against the king. Now, as official in the king's palace, si Mordecai po has the access to the secrets swirling around the king's gate. O marahil, yung galit po ng dalawang eunuch na ito is very visible. Na kung saan active po sila in recruiting other men against sa king. Pero makikita po natin dito kung ano yung ginawa ni Mordecai. That instead of being passive and compromising with this two eunuch, what he did, he made it known to Esther. And in return, Esther made it known to the king. Note this line. In the name of Mordecai. Esther did not own yung recognition dito, but ascribe it to his foster father. Now proven true, this led to the execution of Bigthan and Teresh. Yet, despite of Mordecai's act, he was not recognized. But something important that we need to notice here, that yung action niya dito has been recorded to the history of the kingdom. Which makikita po natin in the latter part ng pag-aaral po natin sa aklat ng Esther, that God will use this to reverse yung effect ng ginawa ng mga kalaban ng mga Hudyo o yung evil. As application po, mga kapatid, this doesn't mean that as God's people, we should work and perform well for the sake of reward. Hindi din po nangangahulugan ito na bilang mga employee o bilang mga anak ng Diyos that we should be passive or compromiser sa ating mga trabaho. That when bad things are happening, we would turn blind eye sa mga maling ginagawa ng mga kasama natin sa trabaho. Umayon man dito. Mordecai could choose to be passive since the king unjustly took Esther away from him and let yung conspiracy na ito against the king unfolds. Yet, he acted. As a Christians, we are called not to conform in such evil work, even though we have been treated unjustly sa mga trabaho natin, o sa bahay, o sa eskwelahan, o marahil ng gobyerno. At sa halip, let us take this as an opportunity for us to honor and serve God as His good servants. Ito po yung sabi sa 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 17, and even sa binasa po kanina, na ginamit natin kanina sa ating panalangin. In 1 Peter 2, 15, this is the reason. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put into silence the ignorance of the foolish people. Live as a people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Friends, God placed us in a situation where we can honor and serve Him bilang servants niya. At hindi po aksidente kung bakit ka naandyan ngayon sa trabaho mo. God had sovereignly placed you there for His glory. And nakita po natin na hindi si Xerxes or is Xerxes-like that holds and controls yung buhay natin. But like us, He is just a piece in the arena of God's redemptive work. And the greatest demonstration of God's sovereignty is the cross. Though to human eye, the cross is a picture of evil triumph, a failure and a shame, where human sin and wickedness are seen at its worst. But God is in control. The Father sent purposely His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take up the form of a servant and live a perfect, obedient life that no one of us could. He took our sins and shame on His body and died the death that we deserve, so that you and I might be crowned with righteousness and receive forgiveness, to be pleasing in the sight of our Father. Yes, Christ died, but He was raised from the dead. And He ascended back to heaven for our salvation and preservation. Thus we continue to walk a life, or we can continue to walk a life that is pleasing to Him. Friends, for those who are not yet in Christ, run to Him. He is the one true God that has the control of our life here and our life in eternity. Do not delay. Confess your sins to Him, and He will surely grant you forgiveness and true peace. God remembers and gives grace to His people to live a pleasing, obedient life for His glory. Manalangin po tayo. O Father, help us to live a life that honors and brings glory to Your name alone. May You cause us, or those who are not yet in You, to find Christ and the gospel be appealing to their souls, and repent and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.